it's a lot nicer now because we don't get the interference like we used to from CBs. So anyhow, this is the last Mother's Day text, I think, that I've been able to find in the Bible that I haven't preached on. So after this year, it's going to be a repeat of some sort. So, the scripture will be, the sermon probably won't be. Today we're talking about a mother's contagious faith. Mothers of faith have changed the course of history. Mothers who have been faithful to God have changed the course of history. Maybe they didn't go out and champion some cause like Joan of Arc did, but their children and grandchildren frequently championed some cause. An example would be the mother of Moses, who spared the great deliverer's life. You remember that Pharaoh wanted all of the baby boys of Israel killed at birth. The midwives were supposed to kill them at birth. And the midwives' excuse as to why all the baby boys were still alive was that the Hebrew women they were sturdy, and they delivered the baby before the midwife got there. And so the midwife wasn't there at the time of the birth to kill the baby, and so at that point the opportunity was passed. But Moses' mother put him in a basket and sent his sisters to set him in the river. And she set him in the river where the bulrushes were. And Moses, being a regular baby, probably started crying and probably had a pretty good set of lungs on him because he got the attention of the princess of Egypt, and she wanted to raise him as her son. And so the sister offered to go find a wet nurse from the Hebrews so that the baby could be nursed. And so the mother of Moses got paid by Pharaoh's daughter to come and nurse the baby and raise the baby, and she would bring the baby along with her whenever she wanted to, and when she didn't want to, the nurse would take the baby. So the mother of Moses ended up being the nurse of Moses, and she got paid to be a mother. So that's one way you might look at trying to get things done. I don't think you can go to the Nile and find a princess of Egypt, though. So, but the mother of Samuel dedicated him to the Lord before his birth. You remember that Samuel's mother went to the temple and was praying, and Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, "Don't be drunk and come here, go home and drink. And wait till you're sober to come here." And she explained to him that she wasn't drunk, but she just cried out to the Lord for a son because she had been barren. And it was so important, it was made so important to the Hebrews to have heirs. They didn't want themselves to be the last generation of their family. They always wanted to have heirs. And it was very important for the women to bear sons to carry on their husband's name. Well, Eli said, "Your prayer's been answered. Go ahead home. You'll have a son." And then when he was weaned, she took Samuel back to Eli and gave him to Eli for Eli to raise in God's temple. And then the mother of John and Charles Wesley gave birth to a revival. One of the great awakenings was seen by these two, and they were the birth of the Methodist Church. So who was the mother of Eunice? Hers is not a familiar Bible name to most. If you said the name Lois, most people would go, I don't think that's in the Bible, but it is one time. And you go back a generation or two, and Lois was a fairly common name in this country. But Lois brought faith to her daughter Eunice. Lois probably was alive when Jesus was born, and Lois probably heard about Jesus. I don't know if she came to know Jesus right away, but she was a faithful woman, and at some point she came to know Jesus. And so she shared her faith with her daughter, and Eunice came to know Jesus as Savior. And Eunice brought faith to her son Timothy, who became a blessing to Paul. Timothy may only have been a small child when Jesus was crucified. Faithful mothers start chain reactions of faith. Their faith goes down through generation after generation. If her faithfulness is such that she influences her children, then the chances are better that her children will influence their children, and so on and so forth. I can't remember the line of people, but there was one line of people in early American history where the family was predominantly Christian, and the people that were involved in that family, with the exception of Benedict Arnold, they accomplished great things for the beginning of this country. Benedict Arnold is probably the most famous of that family, but he's not known for good things. A mother's faith may spread to her children. Doesn't absolutely have to spread to the children. That takes an active role of the mother sharing her faith, showing her faith, talking her faith to her children. We do not know when Lois came to faith in Christ. All we know is that she did. She did come to know Jesus Christ, and her faith was strong. We do know that at some point she trusted him as Savior. Well, in order to trust him as Savior, she had to understand that she was a sinner, and that as a sinner she needed to be saved from that sin and saved from the consequences of that sin. She grasped the concept of grace. She understood that without Christ's grace, she would not have the opportunity to come to know Christ. His grace was to forgive her of her sins, and therefore take away the sins and take away the consequences of those sins. And she responded in faith to God's love. We know her faith was genuine. It wasn't an act. It wasn't Sunday go to meeting and Monday live like the devil. There are people that it's an act. When it's time to go to church, they get all dressed up and spiffed up and dust off their shoes and comb their hair and look and sound pretty good as they march off to church. And as soon as they get home, the clothes are gone and they are back to living and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. We know that she shared her faith with her daughter, because if she didn't share her faith with her daughter would not have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can live your faith, you can act your faith, you can do all kinds of things that are positive, but unless you speak your faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but you have to say it. You have to explain it, because just living it is not a clear enough message. You cannot get someone to come to know Christ without telling them about the plan of salvation. Eunice saw Christ in her mother. She heard about Christ from her mother, and she believed. So my question to you, if you're a mother, is what are you doing to win your children to Christ? Are you living your faith out? Are you talking to them about Jesus Christ? Are you acting out your faith in God by living an exemplary life, living a life of example that shows that you trust God in the things that are just normal in your life? Do you turn things over to God? We all have wrestling matches in life that are beyond us, and we should turn those things over to God, because they are beyond us. But there are more common things that we can turn over to God and should turn over to God. And the question is, do you turn those over to God as well? Is your ability to trust God apparent to your children? A mother's faith may spread to her grandchildren. Eunice gave birth to Timothy. Undoubtedly, Lois and Eunice had high hopes for Timothy at his birth. Don't know what those high hopes might have been, but you think of things when your kids are born, what they could be, what's their potential. In our own society, we look at the opportunities in education, and we look at saying that they can be anything they want to be. They could be a doctor, or they could be a lawyer, or they could be an engineer, or they could, you know, do all these great things. But the greatest thing they can do is come to know Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that you can give them is an example that points them to Christ. The meaning of the name that Eunice gave her son when she called him Timothy is honoring God. So she had high hopes for what Timothy was going to be. She didn't isolate it in his name. All she isolated was the fact that she hoped, she expected her son to honor God. How would these two women reach young Timothy? They did so by demonstrating faith in their own lives. And they did so by their prayers and examples and their teaching. These were daily things. Timothy was given lessons according to what his ability was to understand. And when he had come to an age of understanding the difference between right and wrong, then they were able to share the gospel with him. This is still how we reach those we love for Christ. Hopefully while they're still children. Hopefully while they're still young. But if not then sometime later in their life. Sometimes after they're grown, we reach them. But it's still this same way. It's still this way. It doesn't get more complicated with age. It doesn't get more complicated with time. It just becomes more difficult. You get more arguments. Get more back talk if it's your kids. But you still, if you want godly children, then you've got to live a godly life. If you want godly children, then you've got to know God yourself. Grandparents are special people to grandchildren. You know how it is if you're grandma or grandpa. And you know how it is if you're the parent and your parents are grandma or grandpa. These days we enjoy saying, we'll spoil them and send them home. And some of us do that. But it's still special to be a grandparent, and it's special to most grandchildren to know their grandparents. Lois and Eunice succeeded in bringing Timothy to Christ, and Paul became God's answer to their prayers by nurturing the faith already begun in Timothy's life. Paul, who was extremely well educated, Paul, who knew the Bible inside and out, the Old Testament, Paul, who was prepared to write letters that would later become two-thirds of the New Testament. He didn't know that when he wrote them, but he did write them. And to give you an example of how God works, Paul, when he was in chains in Rome, he asked for certain documents, especially the parchments, he said. And the parchments were the letters that he had written, things that he had written down, the letters that he had written. Those things were inspired by God. And every time Paul read what he himself wrote, he learned more about God. A mother's faith may spread to future generations. Timothy became Paul's companion in ministry. Paul's letters to Timothy still spread the faith. Today, 1900, 2000 years later, they still spread the faith. Timothy preached at Berea, spreading the faith. Timothy preached also at Corinth and Macedonia, spreading the faith. Timothy preached at Ephesus and Rome, spreading the faith. Timothy was also a missionary. He traveled and spread the faith that was given to him by Lois and Eunice. He spread that faith, and that faith was spread further by those people that he brought to Christ. And it continues to domino down through the ages. We don't know who the descendants of those people are, but they continued to spread the faith. It's one of the reasons that the Bema Seat of Christ isn't going to be till the end of time. Because from the time that it began until God calls us home, those people that come to know Jesus Christ by the actions of others will still count toward their crown of glory. Paul is still gaining. Paul is still gaining crowns of glory. Paul is still gaining ornaments in his crowns because there are people that are still coming to know Jesus Christ because of what he wrote. Eunice and Lois are still gaining more crowns because their son Timothy, their grandson Timothy, went and preached in all these different areas, and that continues to go generation to generation. So he continues to get crowns of glory. What a thrilling thought for every mother and grandmother. A Christian mother's influence can and should be unlimited. What part did your mother play in your salvation? Think about it. Did your mother have a significant part in your coming to know Jesus Christ? Are you actively spreading your mother's faith to others? If you know Jesus Christ and your mother had something to do with it, are you turning around then and spreading that love, that faith to others that need to know Jesus Christ? That's the best way to honor your mother. And if your mother wasn't a person of faith, you can change your future by coming to know Jesus Christ. You can start today and know Jesus Christ. And for those of you that are contemplating motherhood later on in your life, you young people, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't tell about Jesus Christ. If you don't have the faith, you can't give the faith. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't share the Holy Spirit. You cannot give what you do not have. You have to know Jesus Christ in order to tell somebody else about him. Yeah, you could go through the motions and you could say all the right things, but because you do not know Jesus Christ, because you do not have him in your heart, because you are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, those words will fall on deaf ears, because the words will not have the power of the Holy Spirit behind them. You have to know Jesus Christ in order to share him. As a mother, are you spreading your faith? Are you sharing your faith with your children and your grandchildren? You should be, because you're the most influential person in your children's lives. Even if you have a two-parent home, you're still the most influential person in your children's lives. Dad always gets second billing. Watch the sports deals. Every time they say hi, it's not to Dad, it's hi, Mom. Mom gets top billing. Why? Because Mom comes first in a child's life. Whether that child is 2 or 25 or 40. As a mother, do you know our great Redeemer? If you don't, come to him today. Receive him today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and reign supreme. Ask him to save you. Then, through the faith that he gives you, you can begin to share your faith with your children. You can begin to have faith in God and show your faith in God. Yeah, if you just now come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you'll have a lot of growing to do. But you can begin right away by showing what God gives you. And then you can continue to show what God gives you as you grow in his grace. Where are you today? Where are your children today? Where are your grandchildren today? Is there faith in that line? Is it demonstrated in that line? Do your children know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Mother's Day, we ask, Lord, that you would be with the mothers that are here and the grandmothers, that you would console them if there is someone in their family that does not live in the grace of Jesus Christ, that needs to come to know the Lord, and that mother or grandmother has anguished over. We ask that you touch that person's life, that you would show them that they need Jesus Christ. They need to know him. And if there's a mother here that wants her children to grow up Christ-like, to grow up as good kids, as good young people, as good adults, that the best way to do that is to have them grow up knowing Jesus Christ. If they're here and they don't know Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask that you would touch their heart and bring them forward so that they can accept Jesus Christ and do it publicly, to begin showing their faith. Christ said, if you do not acknowledge me publicly, I will not acknowledge you to my Father. So of the things that need to be public, that's the very important one, is to show that you come to know Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.